You are listening to the Literary Comedy Podcast. Stories of comedy, tragedy, and timing.
Hello. Welcome to Chapter 13 of A Dragon for George. A pretty darned friendly novel about a 12-year-old boy and his pet dragon who could just possibly be from another dimension. Last time, Deirdre the Damsel led George to his nemesis Johnny, but made George leave Lorne behind. And now, Chapter 13 of A Dragon for George. Come inside, he told George.
Why does he get to go in? Said the guy at the front.
We'll open up soon enough, Gerald, Johnny said. The kid's here to help out.
George couldn't think of what to say to that, so he nodded. Johnny let him into the room. It smelled of oregano and turnip.
Who's this?
Asked a lady in a hairnet, pulling a large baking pan out of the oven.
He's an old acquaintance, Johnny said, placing knives and forks into napkins, rolling them up and putting them on a tray.
If he's going to help, he'd better wash his hands, said the lady in the hairnet.
George looked to Johnny, who nodded. You can help me with the cutlery, he told George. George rolled up his sleeves and scrubbed his hands in the sink. He dried them and then helped Johnny roll cutlery up into the napkins. They took it all out to the dining room, filled with rows of long tables and tightly packed chairs.
How are you? Johnny asked.
I'm here to bring you to justice, George said.
Johnny sighed. We've been through that.
The judge was wrong, George said.
I might think that, Johnny said, if I were you.
You're a fiend, George said.
I'd probably think that too. Johnny collected a stack of plastic cups. I certainly wasn't good to Max, or you, or anyone.
No,
said George, taking another stack of cups.
You weren't.
But I didn't kill your brother, Johnny said, putting a sturdy plastic cup at every placement. He had a bad heart.
He had a good heart, said George.
Yes, that's true, said Johnny, but in a literal sense. He had a bad one.
That's what all the reports said. I don't care what the reports said
George.
I saw what happened. I was there.
I'm sorry you saw that, Johnny said, putting the cups out more quickly now. I'm sorry I saw it.
You taunted him,
George said, slamming a plastic cup in front of a table setting.
You called him a faker.
It's worse than that, said Johnny, sitting down. He gestured for George to do the same. George shook his head. Johnny didn't look so tough now, looking up at him. When he collapsed, Johnny paused, gathering himself.
It felt good to see him go down.
I'd never felt so powerful. George wished he hadn't lost his sword in the river or left Lorne behind. He wished that he himself could breathe fire. But watching him convulse like that, Johnny looked to the floor, watching his body attack him. It's such a terrifying thing to see. I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what to do. So I just watched. He looked up at George. I'd never felt so powerless.
George had watched too. George had felt powerless.
Johnny was probably just telling him what he wanted to hear.
We'd always thought Max was such a loser, hanging out with his little brother all the time, pretending to be a knight for fun. That's dorky beyond belief.
He was better than any of you,
George said, slamming another cup against the table.
Hey,
yelled the hair-netted woman from the kitchen.
There's none of that allowed in here.
It was an accident, Peggy, said Johnny.
Like Hades,
said Peggy, dolloping mashed potatoes, veggies, and meat onto a plate. A group of volunteers watched her intently, filling plates as she had done.
It won't happen again, Johnny said.
He looked up at George.
Max, said Johnny,
he was better than any of us.
I'm sorry that fighting me was the thing that triggered his heart to fail. I'm sorry that me hitting him was the last thing he ever saw.
Johnny struggled to get the last few words out. He took a breath.
He deserved better than that. Darn right he did,
said George.
I wanted to tell you how sorry I was, said Johnny, but Mum insisted we leave town. Start over.
You could have found me, said George.
I found you. I was ashamed, all right?
Johnny said.
Let's move, Peggy said from the kitchen. People are waiting.
Johnny walked over to the kitchen, picking up plates to take them to the tables. George did the same.
I couldn't get that image of Max out of my mind, Johnny said. I could hardly get out of bed for months. I stopped eating.
Johnny went back for more plates.
My mom told me I had to face the fact that, yes, Max had died, but that I hadn't. She said it's an insult to the dead not to treat life as a gift. Did that help?
Said George, setting plates on a table.
No, Johnny said, getting more plates. It made me want to get out of bed even less, and eat even less.
You're out of bed now, said George, still very angry, but curious too.
Johnny put a plate down as he nodded. One day I said to myself, you will get out of bed today. It took me a long time, but I did it. Since I was out of bed, I thought, I might as well do something. Since I was doing something, I thought it might as well be the sort of thing Max might do. Something dorky. I cleaned garbage up from our block. The next day was still a struggle to get out of bed, but I did it anyway. I kept doing it, and I kept trying to do the sorts of things that Max might do. Not the night stuff. I can't stand that stuff. But Max was a decent guy. I figured I could try to be decent like him.
I swore that I would bring you to justice, George said, putting another couple of plates onto a table.
Do what you have to do, Johnny said, putting down a plate. George looked Johnny up and down. Cleaning a bit of garbage, giving a few plates of food to people when there was already a whole group of volunteers to do so, did not bring Max back. It didn't make George think that Johnny was a particularly good guy. He owed Max far more than that. George spoke to Max with his mind.
What do you want me to do?
But George already knew the answer. He knew it because he remembered Max.
You will continue to follow Max's example, George said.
You will continue to remember him.
Okay, Johnny said.
Okay,
George said. George walked outside into the warm summer air, smelling like rain. He felt disappointed. Was disappointed the right word?
Yes, disappointed.
He'd meant to bring justice and brought very little of anything. On the other hand, he'd done, or rather not done, what Max would have wanted.
There's little in the world more noble, Max had once said, than to have power.
And with wisdom, not to use it. George walked past the line of people now shuffling inside. He did not look back. He had things to do.
The lanky horseman was still after them, after all.
George had new adventures to go on with Lorne. Not everyone did follow Max's example. George ought to write that. Deirdre would know all about it. He'd listen to her. She'd give him more satisfying quests. He'd passed her test, after all. He must have.
George walked to the grate, feeling its cold, latticed edges. He pulled, but the grate didn't budge. It hadn't been this heavy before. He tried again, putting his legs into it.
The grate was definitely stuck. He didn't panic. There were plenty of grates around. Maybe he'd gone to the wrong one. He walked over a block, spotting another grate. Hopefully this one would be loose.
Hey,
yelled a man in a yellow hard hat, rushing up the street.
What are you doing with that grate?
Nothing, said George. I just wanted to make sure it was secure. Grates make me nervous.
Did you mess with that grate a block over? You're not allowed to do that, you know. It's a serious offense.
Oh, no,
said George, standing casually.
It wasn't me.
It was loose, said the man, who, now that he was close, smelled to George a lot like cheese. You can't just tamper with city property like that.
I found it loose, too, said George. It terrified me, so I called Kenny. Do you know Kenny? I'm friends with Kenny, you know. He said you guys would fix it as soon as you could. So, thank you for doing that.
I recognize you, said the man in the hard hat who smelled like cheese. He squinted his eyes, as if he was trying to remember something. George wondered if squinting your eyes unlocked secret compartments in your brain.
You probably know me through Kenny, George said,
turning away and walking up the street. Each step took him farther from where he'd last seen Lorne and Deirdre.
You went viral, said the man, keeping pace. You're the arsonist with the pet flying lizard. Arson's even more serious than tampering with city property.
I'm not an arsonist, George said.
Some people are saying your lizard's a dragon, but there's no such thing as dragons, said the man. But real flying lizards are tiny and can only glide. Video's faked, if you ask me. You shouldn't make fake videos.
Life's confusing enough. Lorne shot through the air overhead, flapping her wings to slow herself as she landed at the top of a tall cedar. Deirdre sprinted around the corner, stopping short when she saw George.
Quick, she said. You have to get her down.
What happened?
George asked.
That doesn't matter, said Deirdre. It's your final quest, okay? One of many. I don't know, just get her down.
That's definitely not a dragon, said the man who smelled like cheese, because there's no such thing.
But it's not a flying lizard, because it flew, whereas real flying lizards just glide. Therefore, it must be a bird that looks like a lizard from certain angles.
Lorne hissed in a very lizardy fashion.
It also hisses like a lizard, said the man who smelled like cheese. Maybe it's a bird that imitates flying lizards. That's still pretty interesting.
Deirdre grabbed George frantically.
They'll capture Lorne if you don't help her.
Of course this happens on the day my phone camera breaks, said the man who smelled like cheese. The video would be sure to go as viral as the last one.
Call her down, Deirdre told George.
She's safe up there, said George. She can fly away if they come.
George called up to Lorne, waving his arms.
Fly away! Fly away!
No, said Deirdre. We've got to get Lorne down here. The portal is closing.
But
there's no time for buts. I think that came out wrong. Look, if a dragon stays too long in this realm, she will surely die. This is your next quest.
Okay,
said George, genuflecting.
If Milady doth request it, it shall be done.
How many times do I have to tell you not to talk like that? Said Deirdre. Get on with the quest already.
This new quest would lead George to the realm of dragons and knights. He tried to contain his smile. He still had to complete his quest.
Honey, said the man who smelled like cheese, come over to 9th and Cedar. Make sure your phone battery is charged.
Come down, girl,
George called. Lorne squawked, looking down at George nervously.
It's okay,
he said in a sing-songy voice.
You can do it.
Lorne squawked again.
Do you have the bridle handy?
George asked Deirdre, who shook her head.
Or a lighter?
George looked to the man who smelled like cheese.
I don't smoke, said the man.
Lighters and sparks were cheats and bribes.
Love was the most important bond George had with Lorne. Love and trust. George stared up at Lorne, opening his arms. She stared down at him, flicking her tongue.
He projected all the love he felt for her.
He'd been through a lot with Lorne. She'd been through a lot with him.
Do you trust me?
George said. She leapt into the air, spreading her wings as she sped toward his open arms.
George's love for her grew as she approached.
She'd also grown. Man, had she grown.
She'd grown even since he'd last seen her a half hour earlier and was now the size of a newborn foal,
or a currently sized George.
He braced for impact.
Love might hurt,
he thought to himself. But Lorne flapped her wings, slowing herself as she came toward his arms.
I should trust you, too,
George whispered. All might have been well, if the net hadn't caught and entangled her, sending her off course, crashing to the pavement.
Lorne!
George yelled, running to her. She thrashed about, biting at the net.
Good shot, sire, said the square-jawed horseman, emerging from the shadows of the alley.
Didst thou doubt otherwise? Said the lanky horseman, his mare trotting him out of the alley toward Lorne.
George tried to untangle the net, but it was wound tight. He picked Lorne and net up together, hoping that he might run away, but he had to put them right back down again. The dragon had grown too big for him to carry.
I won't let you take her,
George said, turning to the horseman. George would fight till his last breath. The square-jawed horseman fired an arrow, which exploded into another net, covering George, knocking him to the ground beside Lorne.
Help us, milady,
George said.
Deirdre, sorry. You don't need to be sorry,
she said, looking to the ground, ashamed.
I'm sorry.
She helped the horseman lug Lorne and George to the alley and into the back of an ornate carriage that could have belonged to a king in one of Max's old books.
Thank you for listening to Chapter 13 of A Dragon for George. Tune in next time to find out about Lorne's true nature and to learn what's up with the damsel. Until then, bless you, keep you, and take good care.